D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation.
Do some of that? And I'm like,
dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
David Romero.
Yo.
The wheels have officially come off the wagon. That's right. Heath, previous engagements, can't make it. Tomas, he's sick. He's sitting here, but, you know, he's toughing it out. I'll give him credit for that, but he's sick. Couldn't have a show because, you know, we had to take care of the little ones on Monday and take them trick-or-treating. So, you know, we had to make the big decision, the command decision to turn it off. But right now, I guess it's kind of a walking dead thing. Go ahead and see if you can talk.
I can talk. It doesn't sound like my usual voice. And if I really get passionate...
Yeah, it'll all go away. I'll translate for you guys, but he can't make it today. As usual, we'll press on. We couldn't get that show on Monday. Two out of three of us got little ones at home and had to...
Not me.
Yeah, not you. You're not the one. But had to take the little kids because, I mean, I don't know where I'd get me a big old bucket of candy. See, I only let them have three pieces, but when they go to bed, I mean... Now, you were telling me you're on a diet.
That's right. So no candy over here.
No candy. No. You're not drinking today.
Nope. No drinks.
No drinking.
No alcohol. No sweets. No carbs. I'm hangry.
You're a little hangry. I can understand. So we'll see how upset he gets whenever we start talking about the Saints here. Although, a huge win.
Very.
So one of the things that
we'll get to it. All right. Go ahead.
One of the things I was looking at is we are exactly. I mentioned it last show. Maybe not on the air. But Heath corrected me, and I was actually right. Go imagine that. Saints were in the exact same position last year.
Yep.
They were 3-4, with a chance to go 4-0, and they won. We went 4-4 last year, and then that's when the wheels came off the wagon with them. Now, I don't know if they went on a diet and caught a cold like you and had a previous engagement like Heath, but
they I have a twisted ankle because I stepped in a hole on a piece of property I was showing.
All right.
I have a cold, have sinus issues.
You're falling apart.
I'm on a diet. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
You're hangry.
I'm hangry.
Thirsty.
It's going to be rough.
Hey, listen, you can have all the water you want on me.
No, thank you.
Just put on my tab. Tell them at the bar, put on my tab.
Put on Romero's tab.
So after the 4-4 start, then we went lost to the Texans, lost to the Redskins. I said Texans. I meant Titans. Redskins, Texans, and then the Panthers to then drop to, you know what, 4-8. So...
I don't think that's going to happen this time.
I don't either. And I said this, you know, and I felt kind of silly before this past game against Seattle. I was like, you know, I think we're getting better. And then, you know, I started listening to some other people and reading some stuff. And somebody, I can't even remember, because, you know, I can't remember past yesterday, kind of made me feel silly. You know, not directly, but I'm like, well, I think they're getting better. But these people didn't think they were getting better. And I guess coming off the heels of a loss to Kansas City to say, oh, I think we're getting better, maybe that was, you know, counter to a way a lot of people felt. But I'm like, even in a loss, and again, my expectations probably aren't as high as the people who think we were going 10 or 11 wins and going to the playoffs. I never thought that. So I'm looking at the team, and I see steady improvement by some of the younger guys. I see some of the veteran signings that we had, Robinson and even Stupar. Man, I never thought Stupar would be a guy that would even be a solid ball player. I thought he's just a special teams guy.
I think he's like the second highest ranked linebacker on our team, percentage wise.
Man, he's playing solid ball. He's where he's supposed to be. I'm not trying to say he's a Pro Bowler or he's something greater. We should look for big things. But at the end of the day, the guy is where he's supposed to be. He's kind of like a Semino, a Mark Semino, or what's the other guy's name that everybody tried to run out of town, the middle linebacker. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so here we are.
Fields? Mark Fields?
No. Mark Fields was a super athlete. I'm talking about the white guy that was a middle linebacker and forever. And then at the same time, when your boy, the outside linebacker in the Super Bowl, It was Fujita. Before.
Oh, you're talking about Shanley.
Yeah, Scott Shanley, the guy everybody's trying to run him out of town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here we are. We're playing the 49ers, and by all accounts, we should win this game. We, you know, okay, listen, we're not good enough to think we're going to win, but going into this game, I'm more confident in a win than any team that we've played so far.
So that's a bad omen, but go ahead.
Maybe it is, but I feel like here we go 4-4, and then we're going to have to deal with Denver, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, on a short week. So we'll see how that goes. On a Thursday night, we play Denver, right, which is in 2 weeks. So someone can correct us, correct me. But I thought that was some interesting stuff. Matter of fact, a couple of more things I want to point out, some statistics. Just, you know, we're right about the halfway point.
Denver is on the 13th of November.
Yeah, so that's
Sunday.
That's the second.
49ers is on a Sunday.
Okay, so I'm wrong about the Thursday
the
night.
The next one after that is the Thursday night is the 24th. No, sorry.
Against
the 17th.
Who? Against who?
Your crime.
Oh, we playing Carolina again. Yeah. All right, so total offense.
We had a good talk with the commissioner.
The commissioner. Well, it's time to start the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And now it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
Well, that kind of was abrupt. I guess the time ran out, and that was rude. I was about to
so
tell
I see
you about
you,
some
you,
stats.
You changed the format here, so just we have hard breaks, as they
yeah,
call
no,
them.
Now it's not. The truth is, that was in there, and it just popped up on me. You could probably say, like, oh, let's take a break. But anyway, here's the stats, okay? So Saints are number two in offense at 415 yards a game. The Falcons are number one at 425, followed by the Redskins, the Cowboys, and the Raiders round out the top five. Passing, the Saints are number one, 326 a game. Rushing, 88 yards a game. They're number 25 in the league. Right in that fat spot, like me in the Pick'em League. You know, just ready to make a move.
So you say, me and my
I think
shirt,
I'm 26. Yeah, you know, hey, I found in passing by, you know, player, Breeze is number three behind Ryan and Cousins, but they've also played each a game more than he has.
Right.
So Breeze is number one. And I was kind of surprised when I saw Kirk Cousins up there in the
they
top.
They pass a lot.
You know, they chunking the ball. Let's see. Defense, not so pretty. Points allowed. 28.7 a game. That puts us at 31. Now, I think we've improved, obviously, over the last couple of weeks. Against the rush, we're number 25, 88.1 a game. You know, it's kind of crazy. 88 yards a game. You know, I almost got to go. I think I might have to check that. 88 yards a game, that would not seem to put you at 25th. I think that got to be wrong. I'll check it. Sorry if I'm wrong. Give you something to think about, I guess.
All right.
Defense, points. Oh, I see what it is. I'm sorry. I was looking at defense. That's our rushing offense. 25th at 88 yards a game. That makes more sense.
Yeah,
I'm 88 yards a game on defense, man.
No.
You're doing pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So points, we giving up 28.7. That's 31st. Yards, we giving up 397. That puts us at 28. And sacks, we have 10 sacks, which puts us at 29. I was surprised when I saw 10 sacks. It seemed like we'd have more than that.
No.
But by comparison, Buffalo Bills are number one with 26 sacks. So there you go. There's some stats to chew on a little bit there.
Now, I would say to you that statistic, well, statistics in general can be a little bit misleading because, okay, so we have 10 sacks and Buffalo has 26. Now, how many rushes do we have? How many times have we gotten the quarterback off the spot?
Sure. There's other stats that, because you can be just as effective.
Yeah, because if we look at it and we say, gee, it looks like our defense is getting better. Well, this is one of the things that's better than last year. Last year, I don't think we had any quarterback off the spot.
That's right.
You know, they just stood back there, hey, I'm good. But this year, you know, we've had quarterbacks that had to slide right, slide left, step up. So that's all part of the rush.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
so you might not come up with a sack, but, I can make the point.
You can force a bad throw, an interception, you know, whatever.
It'd be unlikely, but you can end up with no sacks. and still be a good pass rushing team if you're constantly affecting the quarterback.
Yes.
And it seems like we are affecting the quarterback more, a lot more than we were last year, but we're just not getting the sacks. So I'll take that as long as we're effective and as long as we're winning. I really don't care if we end up high in the stats and sacks. So, all right.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right, Tomas, it's me and you, buddy.
All right, buddy, I'm ready.
Let's see. So let's start with the good.
The good. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Our field goal kicker, brother.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you want to make fun of this young man.
I mean, the way the ball explodes.
Watch the ball come up. That's right.
I can't help but say that every time he kicks the ball.
But if you look, he made 4 field goals in this game. 2 little chippy shots, I think, of 21 and 22. But then the other 2 were back away. 1 was over 50 yards.
Yeah.
And he nailed all of these.
And the first time I felt like he did it with confidence.
Yeah.
You know,
like
he's made some, and it's like you walk in. Maybe it's me becoming more confident in him.
Well, I think that the line and the you have to think of all the things that are there. You know, it's his first year with the Saints. He never worked with this snapper, never worked with the guy who's the holder. You know, so getting acclimated, and they getting acclimated to him. Where do you like the ball? What angle do you like the ball? You know, at what point in the – because a lot of it's rhythm as well. There's a snap. He's got to know, okay, I pause for a tenth of a second, then I start forward. Or as soon as the snap comes, I got to get going. I mean, they have to get that rhythm together.
Sure.
But I thought he played with good confidence.
Okay.
The kicks were really good. So to me, that would be the good. And by the way, second time now in the season that he's been elected as the – chosen as the NFC special team player of the
week. Who'd have thunk it? All right. So what about – Hightower.
What about him?
102 yards on 26 carries.
That's great. That's absolutely great. I think that now, you know, I don't want to be a negative Nelly all the time about things, but Hightower came in and there was a difference in the flow. There was a difference in the level of veracity.
I
like that.
I like it.
Of our offensive lineman. And a story came out that he went into the huddle at one point and said, guys, just keep blocking for me. I promise you, I'm gonna get something going. Right? Don't give up on me. So that's so much different than what Ingram brings to the game. I didn't really see any negatives as far as Hightower. I thought he blocked okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any, you know, anything get past him, really. And over 100 yards. Now, if I understand correctly, in his career, he's rushed for over 100 yards 4 times. 2 as a Saint. This was one of the 2.
Right, I remember. You know, another thing that, okay, I got to be careful because whenever I put this in the good category, meaning the top, the best performance, I want to point out Lasko, not as a great performer, but as a guy that I believe, based on what you just said, and I agree with, we're going to be looking for, while I like Hightower, we're going to be looking for someone that can be more explosive. And Lasko looks to be a guy that, as he develops, could be a back that brings more explosion to the offense. And there was a particular play where he was in the game, and he seemed to have gotten more action than any game this year. And there was one play as a passing down, and he blocked 2 guys.
Yeah.
And I immediately saw that, and it was almost he threw one of them old-school cross-body blocks, man, that you'd see back in the – I don't want to say WWF. That's too new, man. Back when Junkyard Dog and, you know, and DiBiase and – And all those guys were wrestling. They used to have
that was when it was a WWF.
WWF, yeah, okay. So they would throw him off the ropes, and the guy would come, and he'd just lay out horizontally, and boom, he'd take him out. He did that and blocked 2 guys, and I was just like, you see? Now all the stuff we hear about him being a good pass protector, he's young, he's developing. Here I go again calling Peyton Manning. But Coach Peyton is starting to get some confidence in him. He got more carries, and he's playing on passing downs. For a rookie running back, it looks like I like the way the development of this kid is going. So let's move on to
– Wait, hold on. Before you leave
that.
More? Yeah. I was going to say to you this. The future, I think, is somewhere else, not Mark Ingram.
No, and I think
we all agree that. And I think we need to see what Lasko can bring to the table, you know, and I think he can bring a lot. I think he might be a surprise. You know?
Now I heard, and I mean, we'd have to go look this up, but I heard that Ingram actually has a pretty big increase in salary next year. So there's a chance that he may not even be on the team. As a matter of fact, I forget who it was, but somebody mentioned they wouldn't be surprised. It might have been Heath. They wouldn't be surprised if Lasko's the only running back from this current group that's on the team.
Somebody
next year.
Put that out on one of the Canal Street Chronicle or one of those places.
Sure, somewhere I saw it out there.
Five people that wouldn't be on the team next year, and one of them was Ingram.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me, especially if there's a big increase, because, you know, we talk about a $4 million salary. Well, if they set it up like most of the time the teams do, where it starts off and it increases over the years, and if he's coming into some big money and the Saints could save themselves by cutting him, then, you know, this could be the last year of the Ingram project.
Again, part of the problem is that, in my opinion, Sean Payton just won't let go of this guy. But at some point, you have to say, look, how many times have we told you you're fumbling the ball, you've got to carry that close, high, and tight.
Right.
And he doesn't do that.
Right.
You know,
I'll tell you what, we're going to have a segment on that. We got a call from our correspondent.
All right.
I think he took us literally.
All right.
But our correspondent, and we'll talk to Lil Dice here after the break.
Okay.
And we're going to go into some Mark Ingram stuff. So
okay.
Moving on to the bad.
Well, that's my bad is Ingram. So
that was your bad
going.
Was Ingram. Well, yeah. You know, and I think that's – I actually had that on my notes as well. There was also a play, golly, I can't remember. It was a kickoff return. Maybe it was close to halftime.
Lutz made the tackle.
Well, no. I'm talking about we were getting the ball.
Oh.
And one guy bobbled it, the other guy fumbled it, the other guy jumped on top.
Cadet and Lasko, I think it was back then.
No, it wasn't Lasko, because I probably wouldn't have brought it up if it was
Cadet. Cadet was one of them, but it was somebody else back then.
Yeah, 87, Tommy Lee.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself at that time, it's like you just can't win with guys like these undrafted guys that make the team because of salary cap issues, and I know they bring a certain little aspect, and we could probably debate this. I know you have, like, especially Tommy Lee, like, he does bring some things to the team, like speed and quickness, but there's so many negatives in his game, and that's why he went undrafted, that when I see those type of things and the fumbles and the – we are putting ourselves behind the eight ball with these guys making these horrible plays at inopportune times. Luckily, we got the ball back, but that was something that was not only a bad or a ugly, but it was, you know, it's like embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? It's like – it's just embarrassing to have
Tommy Lee had the same skills and was 6'1", he would have been drafted.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
But then that would change a lot of the dynamics of his problems, is not being very strong, not being not being able to get off the jam. You know, and again, I'm not saying that he can't be effective because, you know, you put him out there, somebody forgets about him, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gets covered by some fourth or fifth cornerback who can't keep up with him and he can make a big play.
I would make this suggestion. Perhaps we need to move him from being a receiver to being one of those scat backs. Maybe he could do the job.
Tomas, he is like 100 and – I mean,
I bet you
he's not 180
pounds,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if he would get the ball – and I get what you're saying, like maybe put him in that pass-catching role, third down back. But the first time they would send a blitz on, he would literally –
oh, yeah, he couldn't block.
But I get what you're saying, like mismatch situation.
Get
somebody on him that can't cover him and he can make plays.
But I have to tell you, I mean, Murphy's not injured.
And here's the problem with Murphy.
Inactive.
But the same problem with Tommy Lee, just to maybe a lesser degree. Neither one of them can field balls extremely cleanly. It's like they it's just a bobble. It's kind of nicks their face mask. And it's scary. And one of these days, just like in preseason when Murphy fumbled the ball, we shut them down. They punt the ball to us and we ready to make a move and boom, fumble. The other team's back in the game. They got the momentum.
Yeah,
and these guys, it's just a matter of they need to be more secure, and they're scary handling the ball. Both Murphy. The thing about it is Murphy's probably worse than Lee. All right. So lastly, we have the ugly.
Right
now, I thought I'm just going to lump in that what I just talked about, Tommy Lee and that fumble and the handling of the ball as my ugly. So what'd you have?
All right. No, my ugly's uglier than yours.
Uh oh.
I'm gonna try to make it brief here.
You're not gonna talk about Heath, are you?
No.
All right.
Here's what I got to say to you. If you get a first down at the 1 yard line, you have a first down.
All right.
And you call four plays and you can't get that ball across that goal line, you got a problem. Now, either your problem is that the running back, in this case it was Hightower several times, doesn't have what it takes, and yet we got another guy, Goon, who probably does.
Dude.
Never hit him once. You got the number one quarterback passer rating. You got all kinds of gimmick plans sitting there waiting. And you're going to tell me, first down, you lose a yard. Second down, you lose 3 feet. I mean, we went backwards.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I don't know who's calling. Now, I heard later, well, you know, we always looking for our tendencies. Baloney. Okay? That was, to me, that was the ugly.
You know, sometimes I think you have tendencies because that's the things you do best.
That's right.
And they tried to fool Seattle by running. And you know what? Listen, I don't want to criticize because inside the 1 yard line, I'm like, yeah, give me four opportunities. Somebody's going to get lucky and get in there. And I kind of have to agree with you. That's ugly that you got to be able to punch that ball in. But it does say something, too, about how our offense is built. And we've never been. You know, maybe.
But we have the possibility.
Years.
You put Turner. Lolito's playing the line. So you put Turner in as your extra guy. You put him in motion. You line everything up. Hand the ball to Kuhn. Look, if those big guys can't knock the other side down 1 yard back, then shame on us.
Shame on them. All right. Let's hit a break, and we'll be back in a second.
This year, Captain speaking. We're cruising at an altitude about 35,000 feet and be reaching Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport about 2100 local time. Here at BS&B Airlines, we realize you have other options and we want to thank you for joining us today. So please sit back, relax, and again, thank you for flying BS&B Airlines.
12 beers on tap, live music every weekend, and 40 TVs, including 8 huge projection screens. The SEC Sports Pub in Lexington, Kentucky. Also your home for New Orleans Saints football every Sunday.
All right, we're back here at the SEC Sports Pub. Me and Tomas, he's AOL. Now, we actually know where he's at, so it's not AOL.
Yeah,
but
he's working.
But he's absent with leave. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, he had some prior engagements he had to take care of, and we missed the show on Monday, so we're doing an action-packed
cramming it all in there today.
So let's talk a little Saints news, things that that have come up recently, and one of them, I tell you what, before we, because this is going to tie all in together, let's take our hotline call. But let's not forget to give them the number first, so it's 857-957-1997. See, I still do the hand motions, the gestures and stuff, even though we decided to forego the...
No, you guys decided.
Yeah,
I decided when I wasn't here.
I could tell you want to do it, man. I should
do,
just let you yell your sevens out, man.
That's all right. I'm okay.
All right, so anyway, let's get to that first hotline call.
Thank you, Dave. I'm here live right outside of Saints training camp. Yeah, I'm about 400 miles away. But we ran outside of it,
miles.
And I'm hearing rumors that Mark Ingram is angry, and he's going to run angry now, and so he's going to be the primary back from here on out. He's not going to fumble anymore, and he's going to be awesome. So this is Lil Dice again reporting to you live outside of training camp, and about 400 miles away, of course. But back to you, Dick.
All right, back to Dave. He threw it back to the BS and Beer studios here at the SEC Sports Pub. He took me a little too serious when I told him that he was our correspondent. But,
apparently.
No, appreciate the call, bro, and he's talking about Mark Ingram. I read some stuff, and, I mean, actually Mark Ingram said all the right things. There was an article in The Advocate, and it basically said, you know, hey, if you fumble, this is Ingram saying, if you fumble, you can't play. You know, and there was more to it than that, but he wasn't pouting. He wasn't, and he kind of said, you know, I'm not.
He wasn't Newton.
What's that?
He wasn't Newton. Cam Newton.
He wasn't Cam Newton. He wasn't crying or complaining like Cam was. and we got to talk about that. I almost made a new day in the life of Cam Newton, but I ended up having some things to do and not been able to get it done. It's just been a hectic week.
I hear you.
You know, that big holiday, the Halloween holiday is just hectic.
Yeah, I hear you.
But he said all the right things. He said he was glad he didn't cost us a game. He said that after a while he kind of realized that Hightower was doing well and that he probably wasn't getting back in the game, which ended up being the case. So, you know, we alluded to it early, talked about it. We talked about it last week, and quite frankly, listen, I still don't dislike Mark Ingram. He has not had a fumbling problem. 2 weeks in a row now, huge fumbles. One, you could argue, cost us a game. This week, It didn't, and but, you know, very easily could have because it was a fumble recovery for a touchdown. I think he's a really good backup NFL running back. I mean, I think if you have a good running back on your team and Mark Ingram was your backup, you'd say, we're deep at running back. But he's just not a starter. He's not explosive enough. He's not a playmaker. He's not powerful enough to be a third down back. He's just pretty good at everything, I think. You know, he's pretty good at pass protection, pretty good receiver, pretty good runner, pretty good power runner. He's not very good as a
blocking back.
What I'm saying is he's not very good at as being elusive quick back, but as a power runner for a little guy, you know, I mean, he's almost like he tries real hard, you know, but I just –
Well, I'm gonna insert the following. If you want to win championships, it's not about having just good players. If you want to win championships, you have to have great players.
Sure.
You have a great quarterback. Now, I personally, I feel we have three great receivers. So now we need a couple of more great players at our skill positions, a running back and a tight end, and then we need some great players on the offensive line. I consider Unger to be a great player.
I agree.
I consider Armstead to be a great player.
Okay.
So we're only missing a couple of players here. I even consider Street to be a great player. Tell
no,
you,
man,
truth.
Listen. We talked
people
about
always
a couple
rag
weeks
on
ago.
Him.
No, I, hey, listen. He is having, knock on wood, that's pounding on my head here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Knock on wood. He's had a great season so far.
Yeah. So, but Ingram, I would agree with you. Hey, if he's my number two back and I need to, you know, spell somebody for a little while,
five or six,
I got no
eight
problem.
Carries a game,
yeah,
or, you know.
I'm fine with that. But he's not the guy who I'm going to turn around and hand him the ball and go hit that hole, because he doesn't. So to me, I can appreciate, you know, I like him as a human being. You know, no, truthfully, I mean, he seems like a very nice fellow. I mean, that's all well and good. But it's not about just being a nice fellow. You have to produce. And he just doesn't produce. And correct me if I'm mistaken. You say he didn't have a fumble problem. I kind of remember he's had a fumble problem in the past. Where he's popped the ball out on a number of occasions during the course of the season.
After the break, when we go to the break, I'll take a look at it. I don't really recall him being a fumbler, you know. So we'll find out. We'll find out in a minute.
Yeah, and
so.
I mean, you know, again, I don't think, and I may be mistaken, I'm not a running back, not a running back coach, but I have heard this story so many times where you had a running back. There was a running back at the Giants. I can't think of his name
now. Tiki Barber.
There you go. You know, he had a fumble problem.
Yep.
So Coughlin took him on the side and said, son, this is how you carry the ball. He says, now, for the rest of the year, you're going to carry the ball whether we're on the field or we're not. Well, guess what? He solved his problem by learning how to carry it high and tight.
Right.
Now, I'm sorry. Ingram needs to do the same thing. He needs to learn how to carry it high and tight. And if he can't, then go sit on the bench.
I agree. I think what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to defend him, I think I pretty much made my position clear. You know, he's a good backup. Like, I wouldn't mind him on the team at all at the right price if we had Deuce McAllister or somebody like that that got the lion's share of the carries.
Yeah.
But we'll check into the fumbling thing, which, you know, it's really neither here nor there because, quite frankly, it doesn't change a whole lot. I just don't really recall a whole bunch of fumbles. I remember in the playoff game against Seattle, in Seattle, he had a fumble that, man, he had a terrible game because the first two plays that come to my mind about him was the fumble, and then there was a third down play. If I'm not mistaken, it was on our first drive, and they threw a screen pass that we just called the right play at the right time, and he just batted the ball down, you know, just turned his head and looked the other way before he got there, three blockers in front of him, no defenders in the picture, and we were going to get a big gain on that. And but anyway, I tell you what. I have some other Saints news.
What else you got? I have one too, but go ahead.
But well, go ahead and throw you in because a lot of the Saints news has to do with the injuries, so we should just go ahead and unless
no,
you
guys... they had a signing that I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay.
They signed a linebacker who's an LSU kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they
Yeah, well, you know, maybe because he's from LSU, but I never heard of the guy before.
No,
so,
me either. And they cut the kid from Tulane that they had as an offensive lineman.
Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barber Shop, Laundry Mat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints injury report.
Meltdown! You got knocked the fuck out, man!
All right. So here we go. Did not participate, Armstead, Ellerby, Laurinaitis, and Lasko. And then limited, Anthony. Bro was limited, but he said he was 115%.
That's all that.
He's ready to go. He's 15% over what's necessary to be 100%.
That's all, yeah.
All right. That's just my math in the top of my head there. Lampman, Moore, Unger, who had a shoulder issue, which obviously was from last week, our last game, because I don't remember being on the injury report last week.
Yep.
And then Vaquero, who is
the knee thing.
Yeah, the knee thing, which has been a reoccurring kind of, you know, I'm pretty confident he'll play, but it seems like he has a nagging little knee this year where they feel that it's better for him to sit it out than it is to try to play on it. So now this goes into what I was saying earlier about you had Laurinaitis and Ellerby down. Now, Ellerby, at some point, you know, nobody's going to confirm this from the Saints, but I think we saw a play where he chased a guy to the sideline, and then he kind of pushed him out, and then came up hobbling a little bit, and just the way, like, the frame didn't even show much. He just kind of, like, jumped in one direction, and you could just tell by the way he jumped up in the air and kind of hopped on one leg. That was his leg.
Yeah.
So hopefully – now, I don't know why I would say hopefully, because he didn't participate, but, I mean, I don't know how far this is going to set him back. I don't know if I even have the energy to go back into the same conversation we've been having. He gets on the field for a quarter and a little bit, and then he's gone, and I just don't know how long you can continue to wait for this guy, and how far did that set him back?
How far
did the re-injury set him back? Did it set him back 2 weeks, or did it set him back for another 6 weeks? I mean, at what point do you just have to cut the cord with him?
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
And I think we both agree that he's a game changer. He's our best
linebacker. He's the best linebacker.
No, I shouldn't say game changer. Although I think he's a very good game changer.
I think he's a game changer.
He makes us a much better defense.
Yeah.
And he's the best linebacker we have. He's one of the best defenders we have when he's healthy.
Yep.
But there just comes a point of ridiculousness when he cannot stay on the field. I mean, he can't even get on the field. So I just don't know where this is going, and I was really patient. Now I'm getting to the point where I'm frustrated, and I said this last week. It wasn't my original thought, but I thought it's funny as hell. Looks like we're going to get Rankins back this week, and it looks like we're going to get Bro back this week. Two guys who broke their leg who are going to get back on the playing field. Well, not before Ellerby, but hopefully have more than a quarter of play before Ellerby after breaking their legs.
You know, they do say that if you're going to have a severe injury of that type, it's better to have a break than to have a sprain or a strain.
Don't bring that in there. It takes away my point.
Well,
but, the thing is, you would rather break your leg and then blow a knee out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, it is true. But, you know, he doesn't have a torn knee. He has a soft tissue injury, which, you know, it can be just
all that
as bad.
Means he's got a deep-ass bruise. That's all it means. That's what a soft tissue injury is.
Man, well, let's talk a little bit about Rankins.
All right, let's talk about it.
I'm super excited that Rankins is going to play.
I don't think he'll play this week, but go ahead.
He'll play. He'll play. Even Peyton, yesterday I read an article. Peyton was a little dismissive, a little elusive. Today there was an article that pretty much said that he was going to play.
Since when is Sean Payton truthful?
Well, but he's not usually truthful about a guy going to play. He's usually truthful, not truthful about, you know, providing injury information and not letting you know. But when he says a guy's going to play, then, you know, I feel pretty confident.
All right, we'll see.
You know, I think he's going to play. How effective he'll be, I think that's where the key is, because I think people are going to expect him to come out and be all world his rookie year after missing, you know, a bunch of games and practice with a broken leg. I think there's going to be a little, a little curve for him. But I can see him coming in on a pitch count, see him coming in and play 15 plays. You know, I don't expect him to come in there and start or whatever, but you never know. I mean, the guy's been back for 2 weeks practicing. Maybe he goes in there and he's like, hey, man, you know, I don't know. We'll see. All right. Moving on. Moore, another thing, Sterling Moore. And, bro, if we get Sterling Moore and Bro back and we can get Webb, who, you know, thank you for all your help, Webb, but I mean, he's made some plays, but you can also see the huge inconsistency in his game. If we can move him down the depth chart, and now we're looking at Crawley, Moore, and Bro, I feel a lot better about that than than I did 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
So that's another positive thing.
Yep, I hear so. I agree.
All right, well, that's pretty much the injury report. So I suggest take our break and then we get to the pick'ems.
Yep, all right, we're good.
You know, they know what's real. And I leave everything else out on the field. I prepare the right way. I have a mentality. I have a standard that I set for myself.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Cam fumbled the football late in the fourth quarter when Von Miller stripped it away from him, again. But rather than trying to recover the football, Newton took a step back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
That was the play that put the final nail in the coffin. Apparently, Newton's explanation for not going after the football was his fear of getting injured.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
Tell the truth.
I don't dive on one fumble because the way my leg was, it could have been contorted in a way. Okay, you say my effort. I didn't dive down. I fumbled. That's fine.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
But we didn't lose that game because of that fumble.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
And the truth shall set you free.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, we're back here at the SEC Sports Pub. It's me and Tomas, and I'm hopefully that that Heath got all his picks in.
I hope so.
Because he's a little late for this Thursday night game here.
Yes, sir.
Already got the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay. I've been kind of watching out of the corner of my eye. Was it 7-7?
7-7.
Still? Yeah, so it looks like a pretty
Tampa
good game.
Tampa scored first, and Atlanta came back. Now Tampa just fumbled.
Oh, nice. You can count on Tampa. All right, so let's see. Last week, there's been some changes to the standings.
Yeah.
We got Saints Cool 13 took the lead with 65. That's a 5-point lead over the DTC All-Stars. Red Jim up there at number 3 with 58, along with Lil Dice, who's losing ground. You don't want to. It's not when you start, it's where you finish. But now, since he's, I guess, our official consultant. No.
Correspondent.
Yeah. We gotta give him a consultant.
We gotta give correspondent.
Right. We gotta give him some love. Lil Dice, I like picking on you. Thanks for the call. We got Aries 39, Tainted Meat, Javelin, who gave us a call last week, up there at number 7. Then Buffalo Saint, Happy Saint, and the Year of the Lion, all rounding up the top 10. I'm up here, like I said, a nice sweet spot at number 26, kind of like the Saints. Number 20, I think they were 25 at something on defense, right?
Okay,
right in the
right
sweet
there.
Spot. Where you at?
Have no idea.
No idea. All right, that's so okay. That might say something about why you are where you are.
Actually, it said on here I was 23rd, but you see, you're looking, you're not looking at all the ties.
Oh, okay.
You see, you're just looking at a number on a side of them.
I
got to look at the ties. So you're actually higher than what you say you are.
I'm right there in striking distance.
There you go.
All right, so tonight. We got Atlanta at Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay's get 3.5. What you say, Tomas?
I took Atlanta.
All right. Then we
as
got
as much as it hurts me, but yes.
Yeah, I did too. And then we got Dallas at Cleveland. Cleveland getting 7 points at home.
Not enough. I'm taking Dallas.
Taking Dallas. I think I'm gonna take Dallas as well. Although Cleveland tried to surprise me last week. I think they covered. They didn't win, but I thought
they didn't cover because I took Cleveland. It was 2.5. They lost by 3.
Oh God. Oh, you know why? Because I play in the other league. It's a money league.
And the other league,
and they use the half points, and I ended up, yeah. So, all right, so Jacksonville at Kansas City. Jacksonville getting 9 points. What you got?
This one's a tough one for me because of the situation, quarterback situation. So I still took Kansas City and gave up the points.
You know what? I want to. That's a lot of points, and I want to, but I mean, watching Jacksonville, they're just unimpressive, man. Yeah. Very unimpressive. So I'm going to go ahead and take Kansas City as well. New York Giants at Miami.
No, that's the Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jets. And the Jets are getting 3.5 points.
Not enough. I'm taking Miami.
Taking Miami. I think I'm going to take Miami as well. I've been off their wagon for a little while now. And I think I'm going to have to give them a little love because after what I saw from the Giants the last 2 weeks, that's Jets. Unimpressive as well.
Jets.
So Detroit at Minnesota. I keep saying Giants. I'm sorry. No. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit getting 6 points.
I'm sorry, Gary. I think Minnesota bounces back after getting creamed by Philadelphia.
Man, I got to tell you, man, Minnesota start off strong, yep. And they've just a couple of duds.
Well, they fired Norm Turner. He resigned.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to go with Detroit.
All right.
I'm going to go with Detroit. Then now we have the Giants. Yeah. It's Philadelphia at the Giants. Philadelphia getting 3 points.
Man, how can you get – I'm taking Philly in the three.
Yeah, I take Philly in the three, too. I'm a little nervous that you and I are on the same page here a lot. Yeah. All right, so Pittsburgh at Baltimore.
Even without Roethlisberger, I got to go with Pittsburgh.
Me too. Now we got Carolina at Los Angeles. Los Angeles getting 3 points.
I have to tell you, I think the wheels have come off Carolina. I'm going with the Rams in the three.
You know, they played well last week. They won. I think they won pretty decisively. Man, I don't know about Los Angeles, but it'll be interesting to see how they get after Carolina. And it'll be interesting to see after Carolina and Cam Newton complain that if the NFL starts cracking down on everybody, giving him some kind of, you know, I mean, the guy runs all over the place. You hit him and then he cries like a little baby.
Statistically, they showed this on television that he has the most calls of any quarterback for roughing. So he's full of baloney.
Yeah.
He
complained about the hit from behind. Drew Brees got hit the exact same way on Sunday.
And nothing was called.
Nothing called.
So, and the other part of it to me is this. We didn't hear anything about he's getting hit when they were winning.
Right.
Last year they winning. We didn't hear nothing. Now this year he's losing.
he was too busy dancing last year to complain. So, all right. So, you know what? You said you're going to Los Angeles?
Yes, sir.
You know what? I'm going to go to Los Angeles as well. Then we got Indianapolis at Green Bay. Indianapolis getting 7 points.
Going Green Bay, giving up the 7.
Golly, man. All right, I'm going to go Green Bay as well. Let's see. Tennessee at San Diego. Tennessee getting 5 points.
I'm going to take the snake bit team, San Diego Chargers.
Tomas, this is scary, bro. I'm going to take them as well. Denver at Oakland. It's an even game.
And I'm actually going to pick Oakland.
Okay, good, because I'm picking Denver.
There you go.
Yeah, it's making me nervous there. So then we got, Buffalo yeah. at Seattle.
Yeah.
Buffalo getting 6.5 points.
I think Seattle's going to bounce back, so I'm picking Seattle.
I'm going to pick Seattle as well. They'll be playing at home. Buffalo's just – they're just not a very good team.
Nope.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with them. And here we go, the big game of the week. New Orleans at San Francisco. San Francisco getting 3 points. So that makes them a home dog against the
Saints.
Might
be
huh?
even, yeah.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco's an impressive team. They've got a great quarterback situation there. And, you know, offensive line, man, can really hold them. Running game. I mean, how can you pick against this team? Easy. I pick my Saints.
Yeah, I pick the Saints, too. That's not even close. I think the Saints 4-4. Now they're going to have a tough game against Denver.
I pick them to win
that
game.
After that, I know you did, and I know you will.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be
a really
tough.
I'm still holding on to 9-7.
You know, man, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, 9-7 don't really look that difficult. They're going to have 4 games halfway through the season.
I'm picking a sweep for November.
Nine, huh? That's 5 more wins.
Yeah, I'm picking a sweep for November, though.
Yeah, you would, though.
You see?
You would. I don't know how I feel about that.
All right, well, you see how it goes.
Well, I tell you what. Give me some final thoughts here.
My final thoughts. I think that the defense for the Saints, I think, has gotten much better, even though the statistics don't say it. But I believe as a team, as a unit, they're playing much better. I'm excited to get some starters back in Bro and in Rankins. I think that Bro and the kid that we picked up.
Sterling Moore.
Yeah. I think that'll be our 2 starting corners, and I feel pretty good with that. And Crawley will be the 3rd man in. Again, I feel pretty good with that. I think our defense will keep picking up. I'm very happy that these statistics are unbelievable about Stupar and Maudie actually scoring really high on their game films. You know, so I just don't see any hope for Stephon Anthony, but that's another story.
Well, he hasn't played. No. I'm hoping he comes back from injury and the light came on.
No, I wouldn't
hold my breath for that. No. But you know, I tell you what, we're getting close to the halfway mark, and then you start looking at some things. Now, I hear people say this, that, oh, we could be this and that. We could be, you know, I do think that we should have won the game in Oakland. I think we could have won the game over in with the Giants. But then, we should have lost the game in San Diego. So these things have a way of evening out.
Yeah.
But I could see that right now we would be 4-3 with an opportunity to go 5-3. Would have bounced
we'd be 4-4.
No,
we're not doing to go 5.
What I'm saying is, if we would have won the two games that I think we should have, and then lost the game that we won that we should have lost, we would be 4-3 right now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and with a chance to go 5-3 against in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, like, man, wouldn't that really change the way you look at things right now if we were, you know, in a 5-3 situation?
Well, we'll see if we make it. I still hope that we're going to make 9-7.
Well, we'll see. And anyway, unless you have any more thoughts,
I'm good.
This has been the BS and Beer Podcast here at the SEC Sports Pub. We'll see you next week.
All right, later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.